This is Wine with Friends. Grab your glasses and get ready to pop that cork. It's time to catch up.
There we go.
Well, hello, friends.
Hi, we're actually drinking.
Yes. Oh, there is wine in our hands. That's been like a long time since we've done a podcast with actual wine.
You didn't hear
wine.
That chink because it's like... my mother-in-law gave us these. They're like... They're basically... stainless steel camping wine glasses. Mm-hmm. And I laughed really hard when I
you
got
use
them.
These on a battlefield, man.
You could totally use it, like, yeah. And it just made me laugh because Jane was like, well, you guys can drink wine when you're camping. And I'm like,
when do you think we're camping?
When the hell do you have you met your son? Jerry doesn't like bugs. You think we go camping?
It's hilarious.
Camping to us is a 3-star hotel.
Oh my god. Well, you could use them there. So. In your glamping.
But they're very lovely to drink out of. They're just very nice. Much like, I don't know, when the fuck she thinks we're going camping.
I like them a lot. I'm a fan. Yeah. They're nice.
And they're dishwasher safe, which is
Even better.
Which is why I really love them.
Yeah, dishwasher safe is excellent. So.
Anyway, you had a thing you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I thought this was sort of an interesting little segue. And so, you know, there was this hurricane.
Yeah, so Hurricane Dorian is what we're specifically referring to.
Yes,
there may or may not have been another hurricane.
Fair, actually, by the time this goes online, there could have been 3 hurricanes. Because, you know, hashtag climate change.
Well, hashtag hurricane season.
Also that, too.
Just let's not spread false science.
Sure. Although the ferocity of these hurricanes does... I mean, it's all connected.
This is sort of my field.
I know. But, I mean, I don't think you would disagree.
It's all interconnected.
All,
yes. I just, so, like.
Sure, yeah, sure, sure.
Everyone
hurricanes
knows,
are not the fault of climate
I work,
change.
I work in climate change, so I get very sensitive about making sure. No. This is actually related to the topic. It's like, I get very sensitive about making sure science in political discussions around things is accurately portrayed.
Sure, sure, sure. It's not like hurricanes didn't exist before.
Exactly.
Climate
change didn't cause hurricanes, which is legitimately something I've heard someone say. Thank you, Fox News. Anyway, continue.
Well, that just might have stopped me in my tracks a little bit. But but specifically in reference to Dorian, and this is actually a conversation that I'm going to bastardize, but that Steve and I had a while back. But so, Steve, maybe don't listen to this episode because you're going to get mad because I'm probably going to misquote you. But so Marianne Williamson, and I don't remember the exact text of her tweet, but she basically tweeted something about, you know, like the power of the mind can turn the hurricane away and, you know, we can protect ourselves through just thought and prayer and whatever. And so, and then that in combination...
It wasn't even prayer. It was like the power of manifesting
intention.
Yeah, because
she's not... I don't think she's Christian.
She's
spiritual.
Spiritual, I think, is the word she uses.
So, and in fairness... Crazy is the word in I fairness use, right? to Marianne Williamson, which that'll be the only time you hear me say that, is I haven't read any of her shit work.
You're
which
better off.
Clearly I just made an assumption about her work, but she seems like a crazy person. So... Who maybe sometimes stumbles upon a point that I agree with, right?
Even the blind squirrel finds a nut.
Exactly. So that in combination with I did see, and this is interesting because I have a lot of thoughts on both of these things, right? So I have some thoughts about what, and I will share them. But then I saw another like pretty liberal person on Twitter post something with a picture of some Christians who were at the beach praying, right? Praying for, you know, the hurricane to not hit or praying for, whatever. Who knows? They were probably praying for a whole host of things. And it was basically a really derogatory post about how Christians believe that they can just pray away the hurricane. And I actually took a bit of offense at that because being Christian, I think there's power in prayer. So I thought it was an interesting dichotomy of, I think we make a false choice in our society between science and religion. And we like to act like those two things cannot coexist. And I would posit that they absolutely can. And that there's strength in both of those things. And they don't have to be in opposition to one another. So I was kind of interested to kind of approach that subject and see. Because you are a scientist.
I'm very much a scientist.
Who also, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but grew up Christian. And went to a Christian college and is, you know, has beliefs. And I am not a scientist, but I am I am a Christian and it's a pretty strong part, you know, large part of my life. Right. And I just don't think, I think we as a society or political system, but I don't think it's just politics. I think it's, well, though one could argue that politics is everything. Like
it's connected
things,
to everything.
Right. I think we've just painted that false choice and that we act like those two things can't exist, that I can't be Christian and also believe in climate change. that, you know, I can't be Christian and believe that evolution was something that actually happened. And I think I'm a living example of how those things are not true, because I do believe in all of those things, right? I am Christian and think evolution fits into the framework of the Bible. You know, I am Christian and believe that climate change is very, very real. And I don't know how on earth anyone can act like it's not, right? So I guess I was sort of curious to hear, I'm sure I will blab more, but I was sort of curious to hear kind of your thoughts on that. Where do you stand on that?
So this is an interesting topic for me, because I feel like I often find I have something of a unique background, mm-hmm. or at least a unique perspective in the scientific community, which is probably not true. I just haven't met the right people yet. But
you can be unique and not be alone.
Exactly. Right? Maybe that's the way to put it. Yeah. So as you point out, like, I grew up in a Christian home. I was an active participant in my church all throughout high school. I went to a Christian university. That's where we met. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I would define myself as a Christian today.
I think I would define myself
as a fairly spiritual person, mm-hmm. in many ways. Like, I think there's lots of elements of the world that could be defined as God that we don't fully understand. My alienation from organized religion largely came from my, dealing with being gay, not really having anything to do with my chosen profession of science. Yeah. So it's a little bit different of a perspective for me. And the reason I have isolated myself out of much of the religion community doesn't have anything to do with my scientific knowledge, sure. or that practice. So I just put that preface on there a little bit because of that. I think I would, if I was forced to pick a label, it'd probably be agnostic.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's probably correct in the way you describe things, right? Yeah. Like, you believe in a higher power and that there are things that maybe we can't understand, but you don't subscribe to X religion.
I actively choose for a host of personal moral reasons to disassociate myself from organized religion. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different of a perspective, but if we're isolating the conversation just to, like, the interplay between science and religion, is, like, to me, science and religion are not in opposition, because they're not trying to find opposite answers to the same question. They're just asking fundamentally different questions. Mm-hmm. Science, and this is way oversimplified, so, we can pick it apart at the seams, but to me, science is trying to answer the question of how, and religion is trying to answer the question of why. And those are not questions that really stand in opposition in my head, mm-hmm. It's like, science can tell you all sorts of things of why things happen. They can pick apart processes and details and, physics and constants and materials and all those kinds of things down to the subatomic particles. Mm-hmm. But science is not capable of answering the question of why the universe is the way that it is. It can say how the universe is the way that it is and how that's super special and unique, or how it's totally common and not surprising, and, how all the rules and systems and laws and natural laws and things work. But religion, in my head, is more about existential kind of moral and value questions, mm-hmm. that are just, it's just not something that science is intended or designed to answer. Mm-hmm. So to me, they're two systems of thinking that are just completely, totally feasible, mm-hmm. to do together. And I know a great deal, many of deeply religious scientists, mm-hmm. and for them, much of their work investigating scientific phenomena are really benefiting or helping to deepen, mm-hmm. their faith, mm-hmm. Because they're really all about the same things. So it's to me, they're not in opposition in any way. It's like, scientific understanding of how the theory of evolution works does not, believing in evolution, believing in climate change, doesn't mean that there isn't some higher power or higher energy directing that process or setting up that process at the beginning and watching how it all works out. Mm-hmm. There are 100 different ways that this all, a million different ways this is going to all work out. Mm-hmm. Just to me, they're not, I don't fully understand. I mean, I understand culturally and historically why they're pitted against each other, right. in so many ways, but just, like, separating out the cultural history of it, if you just looked at these two systems, they're just not dealing with the same questions.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I agree with that. And I think, so maybe there's also the issue within Christianity of what's Christianity, right? Like, because there are plenty of Christians who would say the Christianity that I practice is not Christianity, right? So, like,
that's true.
Christianity is a really big umbrella that you know encompasses a lot of different religions, and like, you know, there are Christians who, for instance, at our Christian college that we went to, I often heard the question of, "Are you Christian or are you Catholic?" I'm sorry, are those not the same thing?
For a lot of people, they're not.
Right. So I think that's a different tangent we could go down. But that's, so my understanding, I get that Christianity, saying Christian and Christianity is a monster, like, topic and encompasses a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. And so the Christianity I practice is probably very different than perhaps the Christianity that is in intense opposition to scientific understandings of the world, right? So there's a sect of people who are Christian that are literalists of everything that happened in the Bible had to happen exactly the way that we interpret it as being true today. My problem with that is the earth being made in 7 days, right? I'm sorry, are you God? Did you know how long a day was at that point in time? Do you really think that it was 24 hours? Right? I mean, so in my view of things is that the evolution concept and creationism in the Bible are not necessarily separate things. Like, there's nothing to say that within the time frame of what we're calling 7 days in the Bible could not encompass the whole of evolution, right? And I think in both of those situations, you can have the idea of a higher power that is directing that regardless. Because, I mean, science starts, you know, with the Big Bang, right? There's no explanation for that. It just happened. So, right?
I mean, the most detailed science can really offer, and we're getting into an area of science I don't have technical knowledge of, sure, but my understanding of it is that the only thing we need to be true to make the mathematic, like the technical modeling of a Big Bang theory work, is that just we have to accept that there was a large energy source present right at that moment.
Right, and so...
Which, like...
Could be anything.
How is, like, that could be anything. It could be God. It could be some previous universe. It could be any of 100 different explanations, right?
So there's no reason
why... That's not in opposition to each
other. Right, that's not in opposition. And I think there's also the aspect of the whole concept of science is that there's all of this evidence that supports a thing, but in the grand scheme of things, we are having faith that the assumptions or the experimentation or the conclusions that we come to are in fact true.
No, that is not true. It is not that we have faith that they're true. It's that we are...
Well, we're supporting it with oodles and oodles of evidence.
That's the thing. It's like, we think a thing is true, so we generate tests to determine whether...
Sure.
So really, all science is trying to understand the rules that exist about how shit works.
Yeah.
That's all that it is. It's like, it's not any more than that. So it's like... Why those rules are the way that they are, or how they happen to be the way that they are, things like that, those are all different questions, you know?
Sure.
So it's like, there's a parallel here that I deal with a lot in my profession, where, you know, we're dealing with science versus politics. You know, like, it's not quite what we're talking about
one
of the things that I often, I get invited to speak to universities occasionally, and one of the things that I actually make a point of saying when I'm talking to students is, you know, science is the mechanism that we as a society use to mediate factual disputes. You know, it's like, is this thing the way a natural system works? Yes or no?
Right.
You know, but politics is the mechanism we as a society use to mediate values disputes. So there are a number of examples, I think, that they're a little ridiculous, but they illustrate this, right? It's like, science tells us that science very clearly tells us that it is unhealthy to be overweight. No one is talking about making a policy to make it illegal to be fat.
Sure.
I would be screwed. You know, science tells us that, climate change is real, but it also doesn't require us to do anything about it. Our choice for doing something about it comes from our values.
Values of not wanting to kill our children.
Exactly. Right. So it's like, those are different problems to solve,
that's
right?
True.
Like, is it factual versus what does our values tell us we should do? Those are very different things. And to me, science and religion is not quite the same, but very similar in that same, like, they're fundamentally dealing with different questions.
Sure. And I think some of the problem is that there are folks who are Christian that feel like everything in the Bible needs to have happened in exactly the way that it says that it happened in the Bible, right? Even if it is in opposition to what could scientifically truly happen, right? And their entire belief system falls apart if there's evidence or proof that it couldn't have happened that way.
Yeah.
Where for me, right, I kind of can believe in both things because I can believe both, like, probably it didn't happen that way. I'm fine with it. Because the what you're saying, the moral or the value from that story or that event is enough, right? That's the true lesson. It's not, I don't think the Bible exists for me to believe in every one of those stories or things happening in exactly the way that it is,
no.
But that there is a lesson to be learned that I should apply to my life and my value system and my moral beliefs because of that story.
I agree.
Whether
with
or not it happened that way. Like, because, and this is sort of radical for a Christian to say, I don't even care if Jesus was a virgin birth, right? Like, I don't care. Mary could have gotten around. I don't care, right? I also don't really care. Like, it doesn't hurt my belief system if Jesus wasn't truly the Son of God and didn't even have God-like characteristics or even the ability to do miracles on his own, right? Like, I don't care if he was fully human, right? I think the morals of what he is saying still have value and still matter, even if that were the case, right? I can still believe that it was a virgin birth. I can believe that, you know, he was both human and God, right? But it kind of doesn't, my belief system does not hinge on whether or not that's true, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at a certain point, I don't care, right? Because the things that he taught us and the things that we learned from his story and the things that he did, that's what matters. And so I don't think that those things are in opposition. But by the same token, I also believe in prayer. I believe that miracles can happen, right? I have faith in those things, and I have faith in that there are things that I cannot understand and that science cannot yet understand. You know, it's not that I think science couldn't explain those things at some point, but there are plenty of things that science doesn't understand yet, right? And I believe that God is more powerful than all things. So, sure, I mean, could Noah have lived for the hundreds of years he lived? Whatever. I guess so. Do I care if he did? Not really. You know, but could it have happened? There's room in my faith and my scientific belief to say that maybe he could have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're in opposition to one another, because I think, in fact, there's some joining in that, right? Because a lot of what science is imagining what we can understand in the future and trying to get to the point of understanding these things that we don't yet understand, right? And I think that's not different than, like, believing in a thing, even if it seems impossible, right? I think that there's some overlap there. It's just that we're thinking about things in different ways, and I don't think that they are mutually exclusive. Because I, you know, like, if I were a scientist, which, let's be clear, I'm not, because science is not my jam. But I mean, I think something that scientists strive to do is to understand the world around them, you know, and there are lots and lots of things in the world around us that we do not yet understand. And I think both religion and science are striving to understand those things in different ways.
Yeah, I think that's reasonably true. You know, I guess I would add on maybe a different bit of a twist of just that, at least the scientists of faith that I know,
mm-hmm.
often will talk about, when prompted, will talk about their science as kind of an expression of their faith, of God created this universe, so they say, from at a level of depth and complication and, like, perfect order in a way that, like, we barely understand. And to them, an expression of their faith is trying to understand that brilliance of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of people out there who view their work, science or otherwise, as a part of an expression of their faith. I think on some level, yours, that's true for you.
Yeah.
You know, you part of why you love working with kids is that kids are in many ways like, you know, a gift from God that you value. And that's why you do that, right?
And that's so, why I do the social justice work that I do.
Exactly.
It's 100%.
Exactly.
Because of my faith.
Like, it's exactly the same thing rooted. For many religious scientists, not just Christian, but religious scientists. It's they are investigating something for the glory of God that they value. Mm-hmm. You know, I think where it gets toxic and problematic, honestly, is when the scientific community gets treated as an easy target because people assume that scientific knowledge stands in opposition to certain religious precepts.
Right.
And that's where I get super frustrated. So, like, you know, you kind of alluded to this a minute ago, but... Yeah, a big part of why I had to kind of separate myself from organized religion was just that I knew too much. Actually, ironically, going from a religious college where they forced us to take religious history classes and things like that, mm-hmm. I just learned too much about the history of how Christianity specifically, because we were at a Christian school, evolved through handing through a series of societies of men.
Right.
And I literally mean men, not just like...
No, like not mankind, humans, but like actual men.
Actual men. You know, and it's just like, I can't read the Bible without seeing it as books written by men. And the materials that were included for political decisions as much as they were for religious decisions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so to me, it's just the entire book as a word of truth is compromised. And I just, I cannot read the book and view it as anything other than... allegorical fiction. And to me, that doesn't undermine the possibility that God exists. It's just like, I just find it impossible to believe that mankind could have men could have written down, you know, something that so perfectly expresses the will of a being that we're like just not capable of understanding.
Sure.
So there's so much about
it. I kind of agree with that too, because like I have lots of problems with the Bible as a historical religious text, because you're right, like human beings chose what went into that Bible.
Mm-hmm. And those choices were based on values and morals. They were political decisions.
Exactly.
Which means there are other components of that beyond values and morals that were also included in that decision making.
It was also written in a context of a society that is very different than the one we live in today.
Yeah, and I cannot agree in any way with forcing humanity to live in the moral system of 2,000 years ago forever.
Right.
Like, I cannot and do not agree with that.
That's why I think that's where I really just, and this is just getting into just religion, right? But, like, I just fundamentally have a problem with the literalist perspective on the Bible, because I think it isn't about literally believing that it's true. It's about believing the truth in the stories and the values and applying them to today. Like, I think that the Bible, like, okay, as like a set of moral beliefs, not like as actual physical text and words, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Is a living and breathing document. It should, our belief and our interpretation of what those words say should change based on who we are. It should grow. I mean...
To a degree, I agree with that. I do think that there are moral absolutes that are expressed in the Bible that resonate with me.
Right. And there are things, some of those moral absolutes are repeated so many flipping times in the Bible, I don't know how you miss them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but then when you get down to like, let's talk about all the rules in Leviticus, right? Like, okay, throwing basically that whole book out the window, because I mean, I'm sure there are parts of it that are fine, but like, there are like a set of rules and standards there that don't apply to our society today. So why are we trying to pick and choose? I mean, and that is what is used against the LGBTQ community mm-hmm. all the time. It are some things that probably in the first place were misinterpreted from the original language to start with, right? Because at Hope College, I learned that in many situations, what we now interpret as parts of the Bible that are against homosexuality, in fact, we're really talking about pedophilia, not about homosexuality. Those are drastically different things, mm-hmm. and the interpretations were done wrong.
Yep.
And then on top of that, we're just like, well, we're going to pick this thing, but oh, it's cool if you get a tattoo or like wear mixed fibers or eat shellfish.
Or play football.
Right. Right. All these things. Yeah. So like.
So, yeah. So, and I will say, you know, one thing that particularly frustrates me about the whole conversation, I think, in part, this is something that you and I have thought a little more about, given our history and mm-hmm. where we went to school and all that. But one thing about the whole like religion versus science argument that just frustrates the hell out of me is that there's so much about the experience of being a scientist and the experience of being religious that I think are overlapping
yes.
and could be so informative to each other.
Yes.
You know, it's like what you were just alluding to, but didn't explicitly talk about necessarily, was this idea of cherry picking evidence to support your point of view. Mm-hmm. And religious people do that all the time,
yep.
you know, especially fundamentalist religious groups that like are trying to explicitly target control over their people to believe and act, do and behave certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not necessarily fundamentally different than how different areas of science are treated and different thinkers in science who are trying to think outside the box and do their different things and talk about different opportunities, you know. There are similarities there, is mm-hmm. I guess what I'm trying to say. It's like when we restrict ourselves to cherry-picking the information that reinforces our point of view, fundamentally what bothers me about that is that it ultimately undermines the thing you're trying to advocate for. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I didn't stop becoming religious because I gave it some deep thought by myself and just couldn't hold true to the truths of mm-hmm. it. I lost my connection to religion because of some asshole Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people lose their respect and deep connection to science often because of asshole scientists.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and it's like, things like that super frustrate me because I think that there are opportunities to learn in both sides. That, yeah, and maybe this is just a factor of getting older, is that I just see everything in shades of gray now.
Right.
But yeah, this, as soon as I hear someone start trying to have like, well, religion and science just don't mix, like I immediately just write them off as like, you haven't given this deep thought, you don't know what you're talking about, you're actually damaging the world by talking, so like stop. Yeah. You know?
Well, and I think I know we've talked about like fundamentalist Christians a bit, and I've kind of referenced them in like more abstract terms, right? And I don't think they're the only problem in this debate, right? Because I think there is a big problem there, right? But I also think the super far left, like anti-religious liberalism,
mm-hmm.
is also part of the problem, right? Because I am extremely liberal, as I'm sure everyone who's ever listened to one of these episodes is fully aware, right? But in that liberal community, I often, or maybe often is too strong of a word, but enough, get offended by things that are said by people I fundamentally agree with on basically everything, because they want to badmouth religion wholesale as being bad. And while I agree that there are plenty of parts of religion that are bad, and I fully understand the problematic history of Christianity, or name your religion, right? Because there's problem, but Christianity being a very, very powerful one that has done a lot of evil in this world, right? Because again, it's run by men, and I do mean men. but also, I mean, not that women didn't contribute to that, let's be clear. Oh, now I lost my train of thought. Dang, it was going to be brilliant. Shoot, where was I going with that?
Well, while you're thinking about
that. Oh, great. So offended by liberals, right?
Okay.
So is that I think we need to be careful of that overgeneralization on either side of things, right? That because I am both extremely liberal and extremely Christian, and those things can be the same, you know, they can overlap because a lot of my liberal beliefs, are, like we said earlier, are informed by my Christian ones. And putting everything into one basket, right, it is problematic by saying that all scientists are, you know, these virtuous people in society is not any more accurate than saying that all Christians are the conservative, literalist, you know, cherry-picking Christianity folks that we're talking about, right? Like, there are most people live in the middle.
I think that's true. And I would also, I would complicate that a little bit and say that's true, and so much of this, I think, comes from the fact that whether you're talking about science, whether you're talking about religion, as soon as you have two people of a similar set of values, whether it's on religion or science or anything else, you've created an institution.
Yes.
And as institutions start getting built, they start having to deal with politics and political realities and the institution's role in society, which then brings in issues of power and political power and ownership and all these other things that don't have anything to do with the core value set.
Yes.
You know, and I really want to underline that because, again, my separation from religion had nothing to do with religious doctrine.
Yeah.
It had everything to do with religious institutions.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of Christians, maybe specifically, but religious people in general, alienation from science comes from objections to scientific institutions.
Sure.
Not necessarily to individual science or individual scientific breakthroughs.
Yeah.
So I guess I just, I really want to draw that piece out. I know we're coming in for an ending here, but I really want to draw that piece out of recognizing there is, there are fundamental differences between the identity of being a Christian versus the identity of being a scientist, mm-hmm. religious knowledge and science, or religious faith and scientific knowledge, and then religion institutions and science institutions.
Yeah.
All six of those things are distinctly different. Mm-hmm. And they all have different realities that come out of them as a result of their existence. And I just, I would encourage people struggling with this question to just bear that in mind.
Yeah.
It really does make a difference whether you're talking about disliking a church versus disliking a religion.
Absolutely. And I think the key takeaway is...
Or a university or whatever.
Or, yeah, any institution. And I think that just goes with, as a human being, I think we need... As human beings, we need to not be afraid to take all the information in and form our own, you know, thoughts and opinions and ideas. Like, all that information is there. Take it all in and figure out what you believe. I don't think you should just blindly believe what your church believes, nor do I think you should blindly believe what the scientific community believes. I think you need to look at all of it and you need to determine, you know, like, how does all of that work together and where do you sit in that?
So I think the big lesson to take away from this is that, and then maybe this is a lesson that I've learned as I get older, but I try to share this a lot when I, again, talk to other mm-hmm. younger people. And, you know, God, younger people.
Yeah, we are super old. It's true.
It's. I think it's really, I wish at this age I had taken more time as a younger age to think deeply about things.
Absolutely, I agree.
You know, just like sit quietly and think or read something that makes you think. And, you know, I've actually learned a lot about morals and religion and things like that from reading novels. Mm-hmm. That show other characters dealing with different things. I was just reading a science fiction series that mm-hmm. actually deals with deep and existential questions about religion, and it really helps me think a lot about ethics and more. So I guess I would just, if nothing else, if this conversation did nothing else, then, you know, just be like, wow, those people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, just like, but then, like, you probably have that thought in every
exactly.
episode.
Exactly. But I would just, I would really encourage you to just take time to think for yourself about what it is you think and why, and if you're having a reaction to something, why are you having that reaction? Yeah. And interrogate dive those deeper. Questions for yourself. Know yourself.
Absolutely.
That will help open up your ability to think about virtually anything else.
Mm-hmm. And FYI, this entire conversation, not even close to the one I had with Steve, so.
It's better.
He and I actually had a conversation about Marianne Williamson and how her beliefs were, more in line with the Prosperity Bible, which perhaps is a conversation for a different podcast and my intense issues with that. But
well, if you want us to talk about that or any other future topic that you want to suggest, how would they go about doing that?
Wine with Friends on the Face Place and Wine Friends Pod on the Twitter. We're not on the Insta, but that's because we are not cool, and I also said Insta, so that proves it. So
yep, there you go.
And and so thank you, Lee Rosevere, for the music on this podcast, and our boy Lee, and sure, we'll see you guys
next
in a couple
time.
Weeks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5,000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5,000. Enjoy!